listen up. This guy's got something to say to you and the horse you rode in on. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Here we go again.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Don't argue with me. I'm telling you who I am. Who are you, by the way? Who are you? Welcome to the program. I'll take it from here. You just sit down and relax, and I'll take it from here. I will dance, and I will throw various subject matters in front of your face with my hard-nosed opinions about them all, and you will enjoy it and you will love it, and that will be the end of it. Let me introduce you to some of the people that make this show possible. And then again, maybe not. I'll do it. The music in the background, Jason Shaw. Music for this program, the incidental music. Incidentally, it's Jason Shaw. Thank you, Jason. John Shanahan does much of the comedy writing, commercials, the opening voice that you hear, a brilliant comedian in his own right. And then you hear the British accent at the beginning of the program. Well, that's Nicole Reed. She throws that in for us. She's also responsible for many of the national interviews that we do. She sets them up. I'm not capable of doing that. And there are various other people to whom I owe... I think $20 is what I owe. And then there's you. I have no idea who you are. Let's keep it that way. That's called social distancing to the point where I don't even know who you are. And I like that. Quick, tell me, what'd you have for dinner last night? You have no idea, do you? I know, your memory's going. All right, quick, tell me, what day of the week is it? No, it's not Friday. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's that stupid hump thing. Do you know the camels are some of the most disgustingly disease-ridden animals in the world? Yeah, they're actually diseases that transmit from camel to camel through hump transmission. I know, it sounds ridiculous. They don't even have to touch each other. These microbes jump from hump to hump, from animal to animal. I don't understand it either. That's what I was told. All right. Well, enough of the hump facts. It is hump day. For those that actually are working, this is the middle of the week. Somehow this is a thing. I don't understand it. The middle of the work week. This is now we've named it hump day for no reason whatsoever. Just to make it seem like it's more plausible to do this thing, to work. Yeah, it's funny. We even have a Labor Day. You familiar with Labor Day? It's like September 4th all the time. Unless it's a Monday, then it's really Labor Day on a Monday. It's always on a Monday. Like Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday. I am so tired, it's not funny. Labor Day, we celebrate working because it's called labor. It's that, or we're honoring women that are about to give birth. I don't know which it is. I really don't. I wonder sometimes. Now, I think it's the labor unions and all that. It's a holiday for people that work. And how do we celebrate it? We don't work. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense, does it? How do you celebrate working by not working? I don't know. How do you celebrate America's output and manufacturing and America's technology and their drive to work hard and to achieve. How do you celebrate that? We don't do it. That's we just don't do it for a day. We just don't do it. That's how we celebrate our success, by having a day where we're not going to be successful. That's what we do. It's what we do. Oh, it's a weird thing. Traditions, they so much suck. Traditions drag us down into the cesspool of obscurity. You're supposed to evolve. You're not supposed to be stapled to some type of tradition that happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It just doesn't. Well, Ron, we need tradition in our lives. It's our foundation. It's a foundation of crap. It's a cesspool. It's a quicksand bed of absurdity. Tradition. Why do you do that? Why do you staple your testicles to the wall? Well, it's tradition in where I come from. Does it hurt to staple your testicles to the wall? It's as painful as hell. Then why do you do it? It's tradition. Oh, you know, do you realize there's something wrong with you? Did anybody ever tell you that stapling your testicles to the wall is a bad thing? You can get infections from the staples? Well, of course. Well, then why do you do it? It's tradition. Oh, my God, what's wrong with you? Why are you following something that happened hundreds of years ago that they did stupidly? And by the way, stupidly is not a word, but I've used it, even though it doesn't exist. Why did you do that? It's tradition, and it's my people. I love that phrase, too. Yes, my people. Through the years, my people. Your people? You have people? What are you talking about? Is this the person that arranges lunch for you? Your people? You have people? Oh, I belong to a group of people, my people. Oh, okay. So what's wrong with you people? Oh, don't put me in that category. I'm an individual. I am myself. I'm not part of a group. What you just said, that you have people. You have your people. Yes, my people. We roamed the desert, my people. I see. That's what your people did. these are your people. Yeah, my people. It sounds so stupid, doesn't it? Because it is. Traditions are weird. They're dangerous, too. They're dangerous. You know, you're not supposed to define people by their group. And yet, you have people. You're proud of your group, but don't define me in my group. No, you know, I'm different than everybody else. We're all individuals, but this is the group that I'm in. Those are my people. Wow, God, I don't understand you. Well, welcome to the program. How are you? Boy, is it hot outside. What the hell is with the heat thing? Did we get closer to the sun overnight? No one told me. Are we getting that close to, how many miles away are we from the sun now? Like 3 miles? Is that all? Because it's very hot outside. I know you've done this too, because you're my people. When it was really cold outside, I remember saying, oh, I can't wait till it gets warm. And now it's really, really warm outside. It's even like hot, hot, hot. And now I'm pining for the fall when it's cooler outside. You know why? Because you can never satisfy me. But you know why you can never satisfy me? Because you never do. You never do. The perfect temperature outside is probably 70, 75 degrees. That's where you're not too hot, not too cold, usually. Except for if you live in Florida, you put a sweater on when it's 90 degrees. Ooh, you feel the chill in the air? It's like 90 degrees. Can I get a sweater, please? What, do you live in Florida? Yes, that's my people. Why can't I live in a climate where it's 75 degrees all the time? You know why? Because it would be boring. We'd have nothing to complain about. There'd be no weather report, you know. And that's the traffic in the area. Now the weather. There's no point. There's no point. It doesn't rain. It's 75 all year, the rest of your life. Why report on it? Yeah, that would be boring. I think we like the change in seasons because it's a change. It's a change. Anyway, today is hump day. Happy, happy Humpty Dumpty, Humpty 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 Day. This is Humpty Dumpty Day. This is where we celebrate half the week is gone, and then the weekend comes, and we celebrate that it's not the weekday. We hate the weekdays. Oh my God, what's wrong with us? We don't like the weekdays in this civilization. Something's wrong with it. We only want to live on the weekends. Why? Because I don't have to do anything and I can drink beer. Wow, what a great civilization you have. Very impressive. Very impressive. Can you imagine coming from another planet? Well, first of all, that's weird. Or another galaxy, you know, in one of your UFO flying saucer things. And you land in the Midwest near Trailer Park, which is about the only place flying saucers can land. And they get out and they see a civilization of people that just want to sit on their ass and drink beer. That's what they pretty much love. You get back in your flying saucer, you go back to your universe there, wherever you live in another galaxy, and you say, I met some really screwed up people on this planet Earth. What a bunch of morons. Oh my God. Oh my God. Technology wise, nothing. Nothing. They got nothing. We can travel to other galaxies in our flying saucers and our intergalactic spaceships. They can't even get a train to arrive on time at a platform. I know. They're so backwards. It's their people. Strange stuff, man. Strange stuff. You can't look at things too analytically, because you'll drive yourself nuts, because nothing really makes any sense at all. Why do you do it if it doesn't make any sense? Tradition. It's tradition. It's what we can't break the tradition. If we broke the tradition, we'd be admonishing our forefathers. You had forefathers? Yes. Yes. We came from a very weird family. Couldn't keep a husband. Had four fathers. I don't understand it either. I don't know how that's possible. And I had four mothers. I had six mothers. Four fathers, six mothers. You know, in my spare time, I search for the Holy Grail. I don't know what the Holy Grail is. I think it's a treasure chest of something. I think it's ring-dings or ho-hos or something. So I search for the Holy Grail. I think it's in my couch, along with all my loose change and a lot of lint and a lot of dirt. Check your couch. Stuff is there. I've talked about this before. If you ever have nothing to do, you don't go treasure hunting. Just take the cushions off your couch. You'll find a treasure trove of crap in there. It'll take you all week to go through that stuff, man. That's what we do. That's what we do. It's funny, you know, I see these people on the beach in the evenings after there's no more people swimming and sitting on the beach, and they have these metal detectors. They look like weed whackers, and they detect when there's metal in the sand. It's pretty much loose change that fell out of the pants of beachgoers. And whenever I see someone combing the beach with a metal detector, I always feel sorry for them, like, whoa, are you a loser or what? Now, if you actually do this, I apologize. Those aren't your people. But the people that I see with the metal detectors every once in a while, it's just very pathetic. It's like, millennials, you won't understand the reference, so just go somewhere for a second. It's like when they had phone booths. Do you remember phone booths? It was a tradition. People go around sticking their fingers in the change slot to see if there was any coinage sitting there by mistake. Someone didn't take their coins when the change spit out from the phone booth. They do that with vending machines too. Either you really are desperate and you really do need some money, and I feel bad for those people, but it's usually not them. It's usually people that have money that just have this obsession with finding the loose metal on the beach. It's just a little weird. If you can afford a metal detector, then you're well off enough to know that you shouldn't be looking for coinage in the sand. It just is that a sport? Is that an Olympic sport now? All right. I'm going to give you a warning. Our guest is perfectly fine, perfectly wonderful. But our guest has written a book that has a dirty word in it. And this is an interview that I did recently. I'm going to warn you ahead of time that I think I say the name of the book a couple of times, and one of it's a curse word. There's a curse word in it. I've very sheepishly tried to bleep it out for GP reasons, but I was not successful in doing so. And I was told by people, "No, it's the name of a book. It's in the bookstores. Why can't you say it? You know, because some of our shows are syndicated and they go on the radio, and I get complaints about it, and then I make believe I care." So if you have children, get them out of the room. Although the book is very interesting, it talks about you being able to say no to things. I mean, you reach a point in your life where you can just say, "No, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. No." Teaches us to say no instead of just being a patsy and going along with everything all the time. So it's a good book, and it's a good interview, man. But the title of the book has the F word in it, and I'm, you know, but it's, you know, pretty much the way it is. So get the children out, because that may slip. I don't know what I do. I don't recall what I said. Get them out of the building. Get the children out. Send them away to another country just for a little while I do this interview. If you would do that, I would appreciate it. And you will thank me in the morning. We can thank me right now. Why wait till the morning? Thank me right now. Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk to our guest about the book that I think you'll really enjoy. I think you're really going to enjoy this. All right. By the way, I forgot to ask you, how are you? How you doing? I know. Isn't this a crazy time? I know. What are you going to do? Someday it'll be over, hopefully, and I know.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish, or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Hi there.
Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Sarah Knight joins us. She's a prolific writer. I don't even know what that means. But she's written quite a few books, and she's become the top of the list for people to read here. The book is called Fuck No. Am I allowed to say that, or how
many? That's up to you.
Yeah, well, I guess I just did. The titles of your books are very straightforward, Sarah, as you know, and I guess you do this on purpose. You've had other books that also have asterisks in the middle of the word.
Indeed. It seems like people are really gravitating toward them, whether they see them at the airport or catch them, you know, on the shelf and make them want to pick them up. So.
Yeah, well, it's the way people really refer to things, I guess. So it kind of makes it more connectable. Anyway, this is your fifth book, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also done other things besides the books. It's fascinating. The subject matter is near and dear to my heart because most Americans, I don't know what they do in other countries, but most Americans just don't know how to say no. There was that famous campaign by First Lady, Just Say No, but that was with drugs, and that didn't really work either. But this is learning how to actually not be embarrassed and not have to fall prey to other people's desires.
Yeah, the subtitle of the book is How to Stop Saying Yes When You Can't, You Shouldn't, or You Just Don't Want To.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important for people to know that no is an option. It is an option. It is a complete sentence. It's a perfectly acceptable answer. And you don't even have to give a reason. But if you want to, saying, no, I don't have time, or no, I can't make it, or no, I can't afford that, or no, I don't want to, are all perfectly acceptable responses to a host of favors and requests and demands that people might be making of you in your personal or professional life.
Why would somebody be frightened or whatever not to say no? There must be a reason why they wouldn't do that. Do they not want to hurt the other person? Do they think that they're going to be viewed differently?
Yeah, I mean, I have a few different categories of people that I call the yes men, and one of those is people pleasers. And I think that there are a lot of folks out there who are afraid of hurting someone's feelings. They're afraid of looking like a bad person or an unhelpful person, or they just genuinely want to help, but potentially to their own detriment, because you can't help everybody all of the time. It's that thing where you need to put your own oxygen mask on first before helping others, because if you deplete all of your resources, then you're not even going to be a very helpful, you know, happy, fun, pleasant, interesting, awake person to your friends and family and bosses and coworkers, because you're already completely overextended. Yeah.
See, personally, when it's an age thing, if a child says no to me, it's like, how dare you? But if an adult says no, I actually respect them. Here's a person who knows who they are, what they want, what they don't want. I respect that. It kind of changes.
See, that's great.
Yeah.
I actually think that a lot of people have trouble saying no because they put their own selves on a guilt trip before they let anybody else do it.
Yeah.
And that in reality, if you start practicing saying no, especially with the techniques I use in the book, then you'll find that most people just take you at face value and they do accept it as an answer. And a lot of that guilt was in your own head.
Yeah, I think we like strong people. I think we admire strong people and we respect them. And I think that shows a strength and a self-awareness to a point. Obviously, there's different ways of saying no. But how do you say no but leave the door open for the near future so that you'll get asked again?
Well, that's really good for people who suffer from FOMO, from fear of missing out. If you get invited, on a trip with your friends, and you can't afford it, or you can't get the time off of work, and you need to say no, but you're really sad about it because you're afraid of missing out on the fun time.
Yeah.
You can be very honest with them and say, "I really appreciate you inviting me. I can't make it, but please don't stop asking me in the future. I definitely want to do this sometime."
Oh, okay.
You know, I think a lot of people say yes. And then they have to figure out, oh God, how am I going to get the time off? How am I going to save the money to do this? When they could have just said no, but hey, I'd love to be asked again in the future. Just be honest with people.
Gotcha. Now, that's one phase of life. The other is your work environment. And if your supervisor asks you to do something, I guess you could say no, but it's kind of a different set of consequences sometimes.
Yeah, and I have a flow chart in the book. It's called Do I Really Have To? And it takes you through the various parts of this decision-making process, which are definitely applicable to professional asks. And part of that is obligation. And whether it's a sense of obligation that you feel or an actual obligation. Yeah. So when your boss asks you to do something that is really a part of your job, that is undeniable, that you must do, then yes, you are obligated. But if your boss looks around the room and asks people to raise their hands to volunteer to do something additional, you do not have to put your hand in the air. You know, and this is the kind of thing that yes men really love to do. They just put those hands up because they think they're not allowed to say no. So I take you through a bunch of different, you know, questions in the book to figure out whether something is truly an obligation or not, and whether you should do it or whether you're perfectly entitled to say no.
You know, I was a supervisor in a place in my earlier life, and there were some employees who did raise their hand for everything and would do anything that you asked. And our opinion of those people was they're just simple, I'll do anything kind of people. It wasn't that they got ahead. The impression was like, they're kind of mindless. They'll do anything. If I asked them to walk into traffic, they probably would. So that doesn't necessarily leave a good impression. Yeah, you got to be careful. All right, what about relationships here, Sarah? That's where we really get hammered.
Well, I have something called MVP that my husband and I have been using to good effect for 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's mutual veto power. And the idea is that if one of us doesn't like something, whether it is, you know, a travel destination or a style of furniture, then we each have mutual veto power. One of us saying no means the answer is no. Uh-huh. There will not be any protracted arguing or needling or trying to change the other person's mind, which means that we're never doing anything that one of us doesn't want to do. Uh-huh. And on the flip side, if one of us really wants to do something like go out for Italian food and the other one just doesn't really care that much, we do the thing that one person really wants to do. So we're always doing something that at least one of us is really excited about, and we're never doing anything that one of us doesn't want to do.
Wow. You got a real democracy. That's crazy. But see, here's the difference. You're Sarah Knight, and he knows who you are. Most of us are not Sarah Knights, and we're introducing this into the mix at this point. Is it the kind of thing where you sit down and have the conversation, or say, "Here, here's a book by Sarah Knight. Read this, and then let me know."
I know many people who have done that. There is a whole chapter in Ethno on romantic partnership, so there's a lot of stuff to sink your teeth into, and some of it does involve sitting down and saying, "Hi, I'd like to talk about something."
Yeah.
You know, I notice that I'm always the one who does the dishes, and you're always the one who mows the lawn. And I was thinking maybe we could switch, you know, and instead of having your husband kind of look at you and be like, so are those dishes ever going to get done? And you saying, you know what? No, I don't want to do those. And starting a little bit of a fight, you can be proactive about it.
That's pretty cool. I mean, this stuff is important, really. It's because it's like in the meat of everything. Very, very religious people, it seems to me, tend to be yes people. What is that about?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm not a very religious person, far be it from me to inaccurately put anything on them. But I think that if you are very faithful, you sort of live to serve.
Yeah,
there's a lot about, you know, being a community member and being of service, that usually involves saying yes. And making yourself available and being really selfless. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I also don't think that being selfish is a bad thing. Right. You know, that in our society, selfish is treated as a four-letter word. And I think I know quite a bit about four-letter words, and I don't agree. I think that it's really important to look out for yourself as long as you're being honest and polite with people around you and looking out for their feelings as much as possible.
But I mean, people who can say no, it doesn't mean that you should never say yes. So that's the flip side. You can get a little too obnoxious on the other end, I would assume. I guess it's a matter of understanding what the other person has a different opinion than you, but that doesn't mean that you have to give into it all the time. And that makes a lot of sense.
It's about agreeing to disagree.
Yeah, I like it. You've had other books that. I'm curious, when you're lecturing, do you do the full title of the book?
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's usually pre-agreed. If it's just a big room full of people, they all understand why I'm there.
Yeah.
But on television and most radio, I have to work around it.
Kind of interesting stuff. Okay. This is very... the book's available everywhere?
It's available everywhere, and certainly your indie bookstores are delivering right now, so you can go to bookshop.org and choose an independent bookstore that you want to have your business, and they will be able to get you physical copies, but the books are also on ebook and audio, which I narrate myself, if you're interested in that format.
Good. I like that. Empowerment. It's a good thing to have. I always
especially now
yes, and there's a good, you can sit down and read a book now too. You've got the time to do it. Let's do it. Let's get things better. Let's get our shit together. Well, that sounds like a good title for a book too, doesn't it?
That was number two
Working on another one right now.
I am. It's a little bit different, so I'm not ready to talk about it yet, but I am working away.
Okay. So you just said no to me. It was very cool.
I did.
Very cool. Sarah, thank you so much for your time today. Sarah Knight, do you have a website that people can visit?
I do. It has a naughty word in it. So am I allowed to say it?
Yes. Yes, you can.
It's nofucksgivenguides.com, plural. No Fucks Given Guide.
Okay. And they actually let you do that on every... okay. Pretty cool. Sarah, thank you so much. I hope we talk again, and good book. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Right, stay healthy out there.
Thank you, you too. Bye-bye. Well, thank you so much for being here. You have been wonderful through this whole thing. I can't thank you enough, so I won't do it. I'll be back again tomorrow, though, on Thursday. Whoa, really? Yeah, with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. Until that time does arrive, which will be about a day from now, you take care of yourself. Stay well. Wear a mask, please. And I wish you peace.